All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, May 7th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have an early MLB slate already underway. Good luck to all of you playing that slate, followed by a main MLB slate later this evening. We have a two-game NBA main slate, two-game NHL main slate, and then we have golf teeing off tomorrow morning. So I'm sure plenty of people are building their golf lineups tonight. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. Appreciate you guys tuning in and hanging out with me. Let's get SaberSim up on the screen, which it is now. So it is Wednesday. I've been trying to do more golf build demos on Wednesdays, just kind of like designate that as like our golf day. Because all the sports are usually daily, so plenty of other opportunities to do builds. So been doing golf on Wednesdays, been trying to do MMA on Saturdays, and just kind of, you know, mix things up a little bit. But with that said, we don't have any questions here to get us started. Nothing in the Discord, nothing in the YouTube chat. So we're going to jump right into a slate demo. So we do have this golf tournament coming up here. Notice that it is a no-cut event, right? You see make cut percent is 100 here. So that tells me that it is a no-cut event. So that's something that we don't need to worry about. Player distributions will look a little bit different, right? Usually there's like a small little, you know, curve in the graph, like over here on the side where like they miss the cut, and then kind of a bigger side where they make the cut. But we don't see that for this tournament, right? So that's expected. Let's see how many players there are in the player pool. And one person is out, Jason Day, but there's 70 golfers here, right? So a little bit smaller field than usual. Usually we see like 150 golfer fields, right? And then getting into the weekend is like where the cut happens and where the field shrinks down. But here, no cut event, field is significantly smaller, right? So makes it interesting whether or not you got to account for duplication or not. I've been talking to people like, hey, you know, if you want to get an idea for this, you know, you can basically check, right? And you can go back to past slates and kind of look at like different tournaments, right? So like if you want to go and look, find like a previous no cut event and then go see how many players are in the player pool and then go to contest flashback and, you know, kind of figure out like, hey, you know, is this important or not? So I actually did that in a recent video I was making, and I saw that duplication still was like very low, like average dupes of one, maybe average dupes of two in like 70-ish golfer fields. It's not until you get way down, like, you know, showdowns or like late round showdowns, right, where you start to see duplication really ramp up with like 30 to 40 golfers in like a late round showdown or something like that. So that's where I've noticed that it's a lot more important. But these 70 golfer fields don't seem to be too highly duplicated, in my opinion. So we're not going to worry about it here, but it is a good thing to know, right? You could at least like make notes and like write these things down. Like, okay, hey, I've studied, you know, 70 person no cut events, duplication not important. I've studied cut events that have, you know, 150 golfers. I've studied cut events that have 90 golfers, like the Masters, right? So all these different, you know, kind of scenarios you can run into. If you could just, you know, have something where you don't have to remember every single time or forget, you know, you just have something where like, okay, here we need to start accounting, here we don't, right? So I think that's just like a good thing to have in general. So we're going to approach this as if we do not need it. With that said, let's make our two adjustments to projections. Seems good. And Not going to apply any filters. Not going to apply any rules here. What we could do is we could go and check the golf weather report. So let's go jump over to this Kevin Roth dashboard. All right. So Thursday a.m., calm winds, dry conditions through the morning, very good golf conditions. Thursday p.m., winds remain calm. Rain chances pick up a bit, especially in the late afternoon. Not overly concerned here with like a yellow tag. Friday is an interesting day. Wind isn't a major issue, but rain will be scattered. Showers and isolated storms are possible all morning long. Rain should decrease a bit in the afternoon, but showers and storms are still possible all day. A little bit more wind. Weekend, solid weather for the weekend. Nothing very concerning. So overall, weather will be an issue, especially on Friday, but I'm not sure we have a clear way to take advantage of it. Thursday's weather looks great, especially early as it removes the rain threat. Friday looks wet enough that it could be a washout. I don't have enough confidence in the timing of when golfers will play versus delay to try and pick a wave, which gets the better of things. I know it's a no-cut event, so maybe the entire thing a moot point anyways. All right, so doesn't seem to be like huge weather edge one way or another. Should be pretty wet on Friday, and that makes things kind of interesting, but not like a clear edge kind of one way or another. And then, like you said, it is a no-cut event. So, you know, going into the weekend, the weather's good. You know, we're not going to have it like hour by hour kind of stuff. So we're not going to do anything for weather if we wanted to. You know, you could always use like some type of rule that includes some type of tee time, you know, requirement. So if I wanted to favor the morning wave, then I could say use at least, I would say four, whose tee time is before X time, right? And you could just use the tee times here in the app to do that. So that's what I would be, that's what we're checking for, right? That's why we're looking at that in the first place, to see if that's something that we want to do, but doesn't seem like it's something we need to do in this instance. All right. So with that said, we're going to kick off lineups. We do have a default contest sim in the contest tab, so we will just use that. And we will let these lineups run. All right, lineups are finished, and we are just waiting for the contest sim. But in the meantime, we're going to sort by exposure. I got our exposure, our leverage, our pool. That all looks good. Builder is switching to ROI right now. I'm going to add an ROI aggregate metric. Is not wide enough. Okay. So interesting. So see how like it has like dots here, so you can click on it and see additional metrics, or you can just bring the pane more to the left to create additional space. That's like a new little change it looks like we made with the update that went out this week. All right. But right now, sorting by our contest sim, projection and ROI aggregate metrics, got our exposure up. Got our leverage right next to it. Got our pool percentage. This looks pretty good, right? So kind of right off the bat, you know, what I noticed is like, hey, these lineups are like pretty well diversified, right? We look, there's a couple double-digit leverages, you know, 16%, 12, 10. But there's nothing like crazy high, right? And there's nothing kind of crazy low either, right? We inversely sort. Lowest is negative 12, negative 12, negative 11. And then the highest was 16, 12, 12, 10, right? So to be honest with you guys, you know, I'd be happy with this. You know, this matches my risk tolerance. No golfer more than 35% exposed. That's Rory, who's, you know, going to be very high owned. And, you know, these lineups, like, feel good, right? So we always talk about, like, min uniques and making adjustments. You know, all of that is, like, if you feel you need to, right? Like, okay, these lineups are too high leverage. These lineups are not spread out enough, right? Well, I mean, in my opinion, you know, they feel pretty good already, right? Using 47 golfers of like the 71. There's actually no change here from 1 to 2 uniques, from 2 to 3 uniques. That means that our top 20 lineups already have three players different from every other lineup in our top 20. That tells you like the amount of diversification that's in these lineups, and that's already half your lineup, right? Three out of six golfers. It's not until we get to four uniques where we start to see your lineups change, and then interesting, you know, our leverages actually get a little bit bigger rather than smaller here, right? So we're kind of moving away from these like flat diversified lineups into maybe more concentrated lineups with some of the players that remain. So I would stick at one here, right? You could go to four. We didn't lose that much in like aggregate metrics and stuff if you prefer that. But me personally, I like this the way it is. Question rolling in. If we're not sorting by Saber score, would you recommend building with adjusted ownership? I'm not 100% following, but I'll talk about these. So if you're not sorting by Saber score, right, adjusted ownership becomes less important. And the reason for that is because what adjusted ownership does, it looks at a player's range of outcomes, and then it looks at their ownership. And then it's basically saying, hey, you know, do we think this player is a good play at this ownership level, right? So here, for instance, Rory's like 42% owned. His adjusted ownership is 33%. Well, what does that mean? Well, when adjusted is below ownership, that generally means that SaberSim likes that play. And when the adjusted is higher than the ownership, then that means SaberSim doesn't like that play as much. So for instance, let's like boost Rory, right? We're going to boost him, I don't know, like really high. Let's try like 90%. It doesn't come up that much. Where's a good example that we can find? Probably baseball or even this NHL just because I have it open. All right, so we're going to jump over to this NHL two-game slate and just talk about adjusted ownership a little bit. So we go to this build. We go to just regular ownership. We're just going to sort highest owned plays, right? Okay, Seth Jones. Line one defenseman for Florida. And his ownership is 36%. But his adjusted ownership is about 44%, right? So what SaberSim is saying is like, hey, you know, this is a lot of ownership for this player and his range of outcomes, right? It's like looking at how he does in the sim and then trying to figure out, you know, do we think this guy should be owned this much, right? And what you see often with hockey players is that they have like a different kind of shape, right? They have this like big, it's called like a right tail, where they have like a, like these 1% high outcomes that don't happen very often, but they really affect their mean significantly, right? So like his 50th percentile, which is his median score, is 9.7. His mean score is about 1 point higher. So his most likely outcome is like 9.7, and then his average outcome is like 10.67, because the way that like mean versus median works, right? With median, you like take one off the back, take one off the front, and then you kind of wiggle your way all the way into the middle. With mean, you find like an average based on the values that they scored. Not to, you know, have a math class here or anything, but effectively their distribution has a big impact on their average projection. That doesn't always mean that this is their most likely outcome, right? So the builder is kind of analyzing all of that information for you and then saying, hey, you know, do we think this guy's a good play? So here at 36%, builder doesn't love him. Not to say you won't get any, but it's not the builder's favorite play. But like, let's say you drop his ownership to 25%, right? Now the distance between ownership and adjusted ownership starts to close. Okay. Now it's 25 and 28. Before it was like 36 and 44. So it went from like an 8% discrepancy down to like a 3% discrepancy. So let's try like 20%, right? Okay. Oops. I didn't mean to do that. Let's go back to Seth Jones. Let's try like 20%. Okay, so at 20%, it's like a 2% difference. So let's see. So the way I would interpret this is SaberSim is like, hey, at 36%, this guy might not be the best play. It's like a lot of ownership based on, you know, how he performs in the Sims. But at 20%, you know, this is a lot better. You know, we really like him at this ownership, comparing, you know, his range of outcomes. And I actually think he's a fine play at around 20%, right? And then if you dropped him, you know, more, right, you drop him like 5%. Now his adjusted ownership is lower than his contest ownership. And SaberSim is saying, okay, this guy's actually like a really strong play, and I would recommend playing him if this, you know, ownership is coming in at such a low number because his range of outcomes makes this make sense, right? So the ownership, contest ownership, is an input into the adjusted ownership. Anytime you change it, that number updates. And then the adjusted ownership of the lineup as a whole gets taken into account in the SaberScore formula. Now, if you're not using SaberScore, right? If you're using, you know, contest sims, for instance, we are randomly sampling the sim database and we're doing that 100,000 times. So all of these outcomes are effectively in play in the contest sim. So we don't need to summarize it, right? The adjusted ownership is basically like summarizing this and determining if this player is risky or not. The contest sim directly will tell us that. So that's why, in my opinion, you don't need to worry about adjusted ownership if you're using contest sims, because adjusted ownership is looking at the range of outcomes, where the contest sims are simply using the range of outcomes from the sims. And that'll honestly be better reflected in the player's exposures and ROIs and things like that. So that's kind of where I was getting at, where I was like a little confused, you know. So I don't know exactly how you would build with adjusted ownership in the first place, but all to say that you don't need to worry about it as much when using contest sims. All right. Either way, good clarification question. Important to touch on those things. So we have knocked out a build demo here, answered a question in the chat here. Why don't we do one more build demo? We have a little bit of time here. I want to give people more opportunities to ask questions. So let's go over to MLB for today. We'll do a SaberScore demo this time. You know, we talked about ROI. So now we're going to talk about SaberScore. So again, going to go check the weather for today. All right, Texas, Boston, little rain, brief late start. Delay is possible. He doesn't seem too concerned here. Tampa Bay. This is kind of long, so I'm just reading through it real quick. Okay, all of that background to say today looks fine, but I'm still worried about the months to come here. So we'll worry about that when we get there. New York, low chance of an in-game delay. Not super worried. Atlanta, I doubt either impact the game. Okay. Kansas City, models are slightly less alarming in KC than what it showed this morning. Still wet, but the rain looks lighter. I've lowered risk and will look again prior to slate starting. Minnesota wins in from left. Colorado, I fully expect they play ball. Okay, so nothing like super concerning. Maybe like circle back on Kansas City prior to the slate starting and just make sure everything's good there. But I'm not going to make any like weather type adjustments here. I'm just going to roll with everything as everyone's playing, everybody's starting. Might bump up min salary a little bit here based on what we've seen in flashback. I'm going to turn on a don't use batters against opposing pitchers rule. I think we were just doing something on a previous office hours. Let's get rid of this one. Okay, it doesn't matter. All right, so then we're going to make two adjustments, two projections. A That should unlock build lineups. Try it one more time. All right, cool. Click that. All right, so we're building lineups here. Again, 500 lineups, going to use Saber Score. And we'll let these lineups run. All right, lineups are running. Our lineups just finished. I'm going to cancel this contest sim because we're going to use Saber Score. So this is a 7-game slate. We're already on large slate check. We'll stick with the 10K to 50K here. It's pretty like good range for a lot of contests that you'll see in the lobby. All right, so we got our exposure, got our leverage, got our pool, Saber Score, 20 lineups, average projection, aggregate metric. I'm going to scroll down here to the last lineup in our set of 20. And just looking here, right, a lot of high leverages. I'm going to, you know, start cranking up uniques here, mostly watching how my projection changes starting at 98.08 and then how far down in the pool we have to go. So I go 1 to 2 uniques. I go 2 to 3, right? Okay, projections going up a little bit. That can happen. Okay, 4 uniques, 5. And I'm basically just like, waiting for these leverages to come down a little bit more. We're getting pretty close. Okay, so at 6, I'm sorry, is that 6? Okay, so at 7 uniques, we see the biggest change here, right? We're at lineup 66 in our pool, which is still good. We're trying to stay in the top 25 to 50%. So we don't really want to go further than 250. We'll stay higher if we can. So 66, very good number to be at. That's good. Projection is down about 1 point from where we started. Seems fine. And then I like to look at the pitchers and batters separately. So pitchers, leverage on Hunter Green, a little leverage on Christopher Sanchez. Other than that, all single digit leverage seems okay. We go over to batters. No batter in more than 25% of our lineups. Couple double-digit leverages here, but nothing like standing out like, whoa, we're taking a huge stand on so-and-so, right? And it looks like there were a couple surprise 9-hitters on this slate, and ownership hasn't updated yet. That'll get updated well before slate start, but that's why we're seeing high leverage on Emmanuel Rivera, and I'm going to go Reese Hines here for Cincinnati, but again, these guys will still be, you know, less than 15% leverage. So all this looks really flat. I go and check my stacks. A lot of big stacks here. Some smaller stacks sneaking in. Not that many of them. Seems okay. Like we have 3 out of our 20 lineups. Have 2-3 stacks. Seems okay. Has a decent pool percentage. No major game stacks. 3 game stacks in Colorado. It's kind of the one place you do want a game stack. No team stacked more than 25%. Goes along with the batters. So this all looks really good to me. A little bit flatter on the pitchers. A couple of leverages on the pitchers. And, you know, I'd be really happy with these lineups, right? Saber Score. Keeping good projection. Not going too far down in our pool. Getting really spread out. And I'd be happy to upload these lineups and submit them into my contest. So if you're building on Starter, trying to build some MLB lineups today, this is how I'd be doing it, right? So we covered contest sim tutorial over in the Golf Streets. And then we did a Saber Score demo over here for baseball. All right. Question in the Office Hours channel. Hit this one. Quick question. If you have, let's say, entries for a flagship $15 and for a high stakes, let's say 555, for example, given that those two will have different ownerships, do you recommend just handling everything in one single run by just running the sims and sorting by target ROI, given that ownership will have selected flagship, or to separate into two different fields where one will have the flagship ownership and the other will, for example, have high stakes 20 max ownership? Okay, good question. So it's going to depend how particular you want to be, right? So those separate ownerships are going to be used, right, in the contest sim automatically, because they're going to be the default field lineups, right? Like, hey, the 555 has the high stakes 20 max, and then say you're playing the flagship, right, and it's flagship MME. This is automatically taken into account in the contest sim, therefore in the ROI values, right? Where it's not being taken into account, where maybe you want to be particular, is in analyzing your lineups, right? When you're analyzing your leverages and you're analyzing your exposures, right? Well, you know, if I go and change here from flagship MME to high stakes single entry, you know, Hunter Green goes from 40% owned to 47, right? Well, that impacts my leverage on this player, especially if he's 45% owned. You know, now I went from having some positive leverage to having, you know, neutral leverage, right? So that's the biggest thing you want to be aware of. If you're just like using autofill and you're not looking too much at that, you know, you can do it in one build. If you're being pretty particular, like, okay, you know, I'm over on this guy, under on that guy, and, you know, maybe you're using direct fill and you're being really specific, split it into two builds and look at it right. Another thing you could do is if you're going contest by contest indirect, well, if you're selecting, you know, one contest in your dropdown, well, then switch your ownership source to that contest. Find your lineups that you're happy with, save it, and then when you go and you switch to the next contest, just continue to add that step of changing the ownership source for the contest in question, right? So you could do that if you wanted to. Every time you switch contests, switch your ownership, right? So that's another way you could do it while staying in the same build. So it all comes down to using the right ownership to analyze the stands you are taking on the slate. If you want to do that in one build, you can. If you want to do that in two separate builds and just keep them separate, totally okay as well. So you just got to figure out which one of those options makes the most sense to you. You know, maybe one saves you a little bit of time, maybe the other doesn't. Maybe you care, maybe you don't, right? So that's how I'd be figuring out what the right answer is for you in particular, right? All right. Good question there. Very good question. A lot of good questions today. Knocked out slate demo for golf. Knocked out slate demo for MLB. Talked starter. Talked ultimate. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.